Well, I want to thank Pastor Doug for giving me an opportunity to speak to you. Some of you I know, some I don't. I've been a pastor for about 35 years. I know, I must have started when I was 10. But I want to just talk about three biblical principles. I'm not going to try to dazzle or do anything else. It's a new year. Happy New Year. Good, there's two of us that are glad it's a new year. Some of us made the same old resolutions we made last year. Some didn't. 45% of all people make New Year's resolutions. 38% of people don't. Only 8% of people ever achieve their New Year's resolutions. But that's okay. One of the things I have noticed, as you get older, you make less resolutions. Because, hey, why keep failing, you know? But it's okay. I think it's a good thing. Here's the list of the top 2016 last year's resolutions. One was lose weight. That's always the number one. Get organized, number two. Number three is spend less, save more. Four was enjoy life to the fullest. Five is get and stay fit and healthy. Six is learn something exciting. Number seven, quit smoking. That's come down quite a bit. I guess some people's won that. They beat that resolution. Number eight is help others in their dreams. Nine is fall in love. And 10 is spend more time with family. All good things. All good resolutions. I hope that every one of us hope we're going to have a better year this year than we had last year. Amen? I don't care how good your year was last year. I hope that you're praying and preparing to have a better one this year. Because that's the life in Christ. When our life is solid and hid in Christ, then things get better and things get better. And so I think it's healthy to examine and say, okay, how are we doing? Where can I improve? I think that's a healthy thing. So I'm going to just quickly show us from God's word how not only this year can be greater as we grow closer to Him, but how we can grow stronger as long as our time on terra firma is here. How we can live with a more accomplished, contented life. Three biblical principles that will produce peace. I believe that people can learn to grasp them, whose lives are guided by them, and whose lives are comforted by them. They're not complex, they're not heady, neither are they theologically complicated. Okay, I'm about ready to start. You know when a pastor looks at his watch, you know what it means? Absolutely nothing. Okay. I got to be done by now. We're done. No, it's 11:30. We start at 10, and if I'm not done by 11:20, I got people moving on me. I didn't say mooing. I said moving. So I'll put it right here so I can ignore it.
You got a nice big one there for you, Greg.
Do they know about this?
Heather asked me to put that there.
It wasn't for Sam. Sam didn't do that, huh?
No.
Here we go, facing me right there. I'm surprised there's not some note saying, you're done. When we pastored in Bishop, California, the Assemblies of God Church sat right next to the siren, the emergency siren, and some of us were raised with emergency sirens. And that thing shakes the leaves off trees. And right next to the Assemblies of God Church was that. And every Sunday at noon, it'd go off. And the pastor would tell me, if I wasn't done, when that thing went off, people just start to get up and walk out. I'm glad I'm not you. First principle for 2017. Biblical thinking equals better living. Proverbs 23:17 says, for as a person thinketh in their heart, so they are. The word heart here is your core value, where that place that only one candle shines, that place where all else comes out of. Thinking. For as a man thinketh, what do you believe in yourself? What do you believe about yourself? And that's what a little bit we're going to talk about this morning is because a lot of us have some stinking thinking. We have stuff that really needs to be put under the blood and left there. All too often, saints have a convoluted mindset and unbiblical mental attitudes, wrong, prevailing, subliminal picture of who they are in Christ, how much He loves us, desires to provide for us, give us power and presence as He works in our lives. There are some prevalent wrong perceptions, like penitence. I've sinned, therefore I must suffer. And subconsciously, a lot of us do it. A lot of times, oh man, I blew it. Look, when we make natural mistakes, things are going to happen. There's going to be consequences, okay? But when we sin and we ask forgiveness from Christ, he takes our sin as far as the east from the west. And he's not going to pull it back up again. He puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. And sometimes we need to remember to leave it there. See, sometimes we put on our scuba gear and we go back into that sea and we bring it out. We dig down to the bottom and, God, remember this? No, I don't remember that. You need to let it go. I did. It's covered by the blood. That concept of penitence, it's sola gratia. It's a Latin word meaning by grace alone. For we are saved by grace, not of works, lest any person should boast. And yet some of us have an unbiblical foundation data that shovels into our banks that I got to make up for this sin. I got to do something to make up for it. You ever go to dinner with somebody, another couple, and I got the bill. Guys, you know exactly what the next response is. We'll get the tip. No, God, you can't tip God. Well, God, I'll do this, I'll do that. No. You can just live the life he's called you to live. This idea that we're going to tip God or we're going to pay penitence, it gets us off track. Biblical thinking equals better living. Saved by grace, not of works, lest any person should boast. See, some of the things we get in our memory banks, they come from when we're little. They come from when authority and peoples with authority. Do you know why your relatives can push your buttons so much? Does anybody know why your relatives? It's been Christmas, and we've gotten through a Christmas without drama, and that is a huge thing when you have 5 daughters. No mistakes, 5 girls. But why are your brothers, sisters always able to drive you crazy? Because they installed those buttons. They're the ones that installed them. And it's time that we begin to think of ourselves as the Bible thinks of us. Let me just run down a litany of things that often authority figures, parents, siblings, teachers, can inscribe into our mindset when we're little. You're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're unwanted, you're dumb, you're useless, you're worthless. Always have been, always will be a loser. You fill in whatever demonic identity has been spoken over your life. Now, maybe nobody's ever heard any of that over their life. I've heard it over mine. And unfortunately, especially when you're small, that becomes your identity. And that's your default. See, the Bible says in Proverbs, whatever a person thinks in their heart, that's what your default is. Oh, man, I'm stupid. I should have never tried. No, that's not what Christ says over you. And so the first thing we need to learn for 2017 is I'm not going to allow those demonically identified word curses over me stay with me. I'm going to get rid of them in Jesus' name. Add to that the concept of the demon theology that many of us were raised in. Please notice I didn't say it was a New Age theology because the theology is as old as the demons. How about yin and yang? Good, bad, everything balances out. That's Hinduism, where you just keep cycling back. Oh, Jesus, thank you that there's one life to live and then it's judgment. I do not want to cycle back. You know, I'd probably cycle back as a slug or something, but... Yeah, but no, I don't want to say this. And yet we get that, it comes, not it just comes in. How about the new hottest movie out there? It's right out of Star Wars. Light and dark, equal, co-equal forces coming against each other. It's called Shintoism, where even the master teacher is called Yoda. Boy, hey, Let's not be picking on folks. I got that whole CD series of Star Wars. But see, those things come in subliminally. We just pick up on them. And we need to remember that some of this isn't good for us. That's why Paul writes in Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How's that going? Again, Paul in Ephesians 4 says, as he's instructing the new believers, he says, now we're going to put off the old person with its corrupt thinking and be renewed in the spirit of our mind, so that then, when you're that renewed person in Christ, when your mind, your thinking, the core value, that one place that only one candle blows, where all your identity flows out of, where everything that you know and you believe about yourself flows out of there, as a man thinketh, that's where that is. That's that heart that God's talking about here. When that becomes truly aligned to what the Word of God is saying about you, then you're going to be able to reject the demonic, I'll just use the word curses for lack of anything better, but those things that have been said about you. I've had, is this being recorded?
It is.
Okay, does it go public?
It does.
Okay. Hello, Brother Bill, I apologize in forehand. I was adopted. I was the last of 10 children in Juneau. Have you ever, everybody seen Don Abel's? Okay, you go by Don, that's where I was born. That's our dairy farm. Brotherhood Park, that was where the Jersey cows were. And I was adopted. They had all these children naturally. I had brothers and sisters married with children older than me. But one of the things that I grew up with was getting off the bus out on Fritz Cove Road after we'd moved off the farm, and getting beat up, thrown outside, locked out. Mom and Dad both worked, and said, "You're not wanted. You're worthless." Got my nose broke because I was singing too loud, and he didn't like my song, the voice. So he hit me in the face with the basketball. A lot of stuff. See, now that's from authority figures. That's from somebody that's basically twice your size, or he's bigger than I am. But that carries on into adulthood, folks. That carries on. And that has effect on us all our adult lives until we learn that it needs to go under the blood of Jesus. Until we learn that to release whatever, whoever, and to receive from Him salvation. Salvation in its meaning means wholeness. I'm going to be whole again. And so you have to release to receive. Let it go. Garbage in, garbage out. Computer terminology. Right thinking will always line up with the Word of God. And when Paul uses the idea of regeneration, of putting on the new person, the renewing your spirit, he says the word in Greek there means intensity of repetition. You have to keep letting go so that you can receive and receive. And yes, you're going to fall back into a wrong mindset. Once in a while, you're going to fall back into, I can't do it. I'm too wrong. I've always failed. No, that's when you allow the Holy Spirit to say, that's not what I said over your life. I said you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, your Lord. And do you know what it means to be more than a conqueror? Some years ago, I spent time with the heavyweight boxing champion of Australia. And interesting fellow, to say the least. I think he wore them down with his nose. Just interesting face. But he said he became born again, and he had been reading through the Bible, and he was thinking, I can do all things. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And he remembered after he won the bout to be the heavyweight champion of the world, I mean of Australia, he went to the locker room to get his face bandaged back up, to get his ribs taped back up. His wife went and picked up the check. And he said she was more than a conqueror. We pick up Jesus's check. He paid it all. He paid it all. And we need to remember that. So thinking doesn't become part of our living. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. David writes, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thy word, I meditate on it both day and night. How's that working out for us? I think if we decided to be like David, and we'd have a lot better year. Right thinking always aligns with the word of God. Jesus in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, when he's confronted by Satan, challenged to change rocks into bread, Jesus answered him, It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are the words out of the mouth of God, is the word of God, the love letters of Christ, are they how we see ourselves? Are they how we listen? Are they how we make decisions? Many years ago, many years ago, I had a very successful businessman in the church, and he was doing some things that I felt, no, that were just wrong. And so I went to him and I said, you know, this isn't right. This isn't biblical. And he looked at me and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He says, you're getting too far into my space here. He says, business and Christianity don't mix. And I said, you're wrong. They'd better mix. And that we need to understand this book, and it's the words in this book, the words of life in this book, the Rhema words, all the words, they need to be where we flow from. They need to be that heart. That's where it needs to be at. I believe it's time that we say, Lord, do I have any stinking thinking? Lord, is there anything that flows out of my heart that's not of your word? Is there anything in there that other people have said about me that automatically become that default when something happens? Then, Lord, I want you to reprogram it. Paul says you reprogram it by intense repetition. Father, just let me be in your word. Let your word be that light and that lamp. Lord, just let your word be full. That foundation of my identity. The foundation of your identity is right here. It's what God says about you. It's not what that teacher said or their parents said. And by the way, parents, I'm glad it's family day, because you're going to install the buttons in your children to a great measure by the words and the way that you address them. Do you lift them up or tear them down? Well, I'm just teaching. No, 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 no. The Bible's real clear. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God, even when we're in the midst of correction. Don't say anything over your child that this book doesn't say over your child. This book never calls your child stupid or dumb or lazy or clumsy or this or that. Don't use those words, because God is saying, that's my child. I have a plan for that child. It's for good and not for evil. Just as he has a plan for every one of us. So we got through the first point. Whew. Biblical thinking equals better living. For as a man thinketh, or a person thinketh in their heart, so they are. Point two, biblical truth triumphs satanic tactical lies. We're going to deal with that, what other people have said of you, a little bit more. I'm going to say a phrase, then I want you to say it after me. He who knows you best loves you most. He who knows you best loves you most. Let's do it again. He who knows you best loves you most. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to save. For God so loved the world that he gave and sent his only begotten Son into the world that the world through him might be saved. We need to understand that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We need to understand in John 3:16, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One of the things we need to understand is God loves us. Jesus is crazy about us. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is crazy about you. He loves you. He loves you. The word says that for the joy set before him, he endured the shame, the pain of the cross. Well, what joy? The renewed relationship with you and I. That's what it's all about. From before the foundations of the world, we're told through the scriptures that Jesus was slain. So before God separated light from dark, before he brought normality out of chaos, before any of that, he knew he'd have to die on the cross. And he still made us anyway. He knew the mud ducks would be, but he'd still make us anyway. He knew what pond scum some of us would do with our lives, but he still made us because he loves us. He who knows us best, he knows everything about us. Psalms 139 is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. It says that before I was born, before he knit me together in my mother's womb, he had a plan and a purpose, and the days of my life were written in his book. To Jeremiah, he says, I called you before you were born. I sanctified, that's every one of us. He's making a calling clear. God is love and nothing. As our lives, we desire to line up to him, comes out of anything but love. He's never mad at us. He's never angry with us. God is love. And yet, all too often, we fail to incorporate that. Most of us don't have a problem having Jesus love somebody else. But it's usually the problem because we know ourselves best that he would really, truly love me. He really, truly loves you. He loves you with an undying love. Was it Blackaby that said, the deepest theology you need to know is Jesus loves me? Interviewed, what's the deepest, the great Southern Baptist theologian, writer, author? What's the deepest theology? He says, just remember, Jesus loves me. That's my number one song. They play it on my birthday at church. When I say, I don't even have to tell my group up here, worship team, they just know. Every worship team I've ever had to learn to play Jesus Loves Me. Because that's a real song, and that's that. You don't need any deeper theology than Jesus Loves Me. Get that in your heart. Get that in that one place where only where that candle glows. Jesus loves me. Do you know that in Matthew it says the hairs on your head are numbered? And the shower this morning took some of that away. And God adjusted that number. Psalms 33 says that the Lord has plans for all generations and they haven't. Listen to what Psalms 33 says. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. He who knows you best loves you most. Oh, my kids love me. I it's harder to think of anything that love you more than your dog. I mean, I come home, that dog is just flipping and flopping. If you've ever seen Heather and Sam's dog, it's a Labradoodle, and it's about this size. We have its exact twin. It is literally, they're twins. It's in the same litter. And she's just a little bit heavier. But that dog just is so excited. I don't want to be insensitive here, but God loves us more than that. He loves us more than that. He loves us. We've all seen those wonderful, wonderful videos of soldiers coming home from war, or coming home and they surprise their wives or they surprise their kids. Jesus loves us more than that. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans for good and not evil, plans to make you the head and not the tail. It also says that righteousness, the righteous steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. He who knows you best loves you most. There's Nordic gods. Do we understand that? Especially from Southeast. If I was preaching in Petersburg, they'd go, oh yeah, we know that. You know. But there's a Nordic god called Thor. And he's got a great big hammer. And somewhere along the line, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm the only one that ever thought this, that it's almost like God just waiting for you to get a line so he can straighten you up. Whenever we go to a fair or places, there's this game called whack-a-mole. That's my wife's favorite game. You know, just she'll just be throwing quarter after quarter after quarter, and that's just, you know, come on, you little, what an aggression releasing game. You know, or for me, it's aggression because I'm not fast enough. You know, but sometimes we have in the back of our minds, way, way back there, that idea that, that God's just waiting for us to mess up so he can whack us. And then whack us again. Every time we start to get, no. God wants only good for you. God's plans for you for good and not for evil. God's desire, the book of life that has your days laid out, that's good. He's not ever, ever mad at you. He desires a moment-to-moment life with you. And I stand here today and I'm going to declare the word unto you. He loves you. Would you just... He loves me. Just put your hand here. He loves me. Just repeat it. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He knows me best and loves me most. God's love is undividable. It's not like you get some and you get some and you get more because you're better. No. He loves each of us equally. He loves me. Biblical truth triumphs satanic lies. He who loves you most. He who loves you knows you best, loves you most. Finally, third principle. In the rabbinical Midrash Agadah, now, that's a mouthful. What that simply is you know how we have commentaries on John and Mark and Revelations? You know, there's people like Blackaby and others who have, Reverend Blackaby and others, who have sat down and tried to help explain it. How they give you the original language and that kind of stuff. Well, the Jews have done that with the Old Testament, and they've been doing it with the Old Testament for nearly 3,000 years. And there's two types. There's the Midrash that is Agadah, and that's done by telling stories. They'll take a scripture and they'll tell a story parables. Jesus spoke not without parables. Okay. By the way, here's a little fact that I'm just running short here again. We don't have a town whistle around here, do we?
No.
Okay, good. Jesus never told a parable that didn't have a similar or parallel parable in Jewish Hebraic teachings. And so you have this type of commentary that's stories. And then you have and that's called Agadah, and you have a type of story, of commentary that's Halakha, and it is, they just try to explain things. Why are there 360 rules to set a dinner table? There's 360 separate Jewish rules if you're going to set a kosher dinner table. I'll eat out. You know? I know my wife was forget that, man. We're eating out every night. And yet there's the Agadah. And the Agadah, I'm just going to quit. This is my first closing. I usually do six or seven. My first closing is when King Solomon came to the throne. He got his wise men, his wisest counselors together. He says, I need you to make me something to keep me humble. I need you to make me something that will keep my life in perspective. And so the wise counselors went away, and they came back after a few days, and they gave him this gorgeous, gorgeous ring. And engraved in the ring were three Hebrew words which translate into four English words. And these three Hebrew words that translate into four English words are God's words. They're God's words of promise to us. They're God's word of promise that he is in charge. History is his story. Amen? And the sooner we realize that, the sooner our lives are going to be less fret-filled. His story. And the words that are written on that ring, if we take them to heart, remembering them no matter if we're soaring to new heights or struggling in quicksand will bring balance. This too shall pass. That's what was said on the three rings. And those are God's words to us. dozens, no, hundreds of times we find the phrase, it came to pass. You just used it most likely during, it's used 8 times in the first 2 chapters of Luke. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. It came and it went away. That's the exact literal translation in Greek. It comes to go away. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials and temptations, for it builds you up. It comes to go away. It comes to do a purpose. God allows it into your life for a purpose. So whether it's way up here or down here. See, I'd rather be living this life than... You ever met Christians one Sunday, they come to church, oh, it's Pentecostals. And they're just flying. When I pastored and built the church, I put the chandeliers 12 feet off the ground. So if they're going to do any chandelier swinging, they'd really be get to it. But they're up there, and the next week they come in, and like the whole world's falling out. Then 2 weeks later, they're back up again. That's not a healthy lifestyle. Do you know that? Let's stay in a little bit more steady lifestyle. Let's remember that our lives are hid in Christ. His plans for us are good, and this too shall pass. Amen? This too shall pass. It's written hundreds of times, 8 times in just the 2 things. Didn't come to settle in, it came to pass, to arrive and go away. For we know, out of Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. King Solomon's ring simply said, and this too shall pass. So in closing, biblical thinking equals better living. It's time to, as the Word says, renew our minds in the Word of God. For as a person thinks in his heart, so they are. Because out of your heart comes your identity. It comes your default. Allow his Word this year to be the core. Your identity and your life will change. Biblical truth triumphs satanic tactic lies. He who knows you best loves you most. Never forget that. Never forget it, even when you've blown it. You know, because a lot of times our parents didn't respond to us correctly. And parents, if you're raising children, don't ever reject them because they've blown it. Amen? You're a parent. It's up to you to put good buttons and triggers in your kids. It's the words that you'll use that will shape their life. I encourage you to speak life more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Jesus in Hebrew wrote, in Hebrews it's quoted, I will never, never leave you, and I will never, never, never forsake you. That's a double and triple imperative in Greek, and that Jesus didn't have a stuttering problem. He said that for effect. He said that for you and me. I will never, never leave you. Some of us were abandoned. You can't be adopted without having abandonment issues. It's impossible. I also have a degree in psychology. I will never start a ranch. The brand would kill the cattle. It's just, and you know what? Here's one of the best things about going to school. You realize how much you don't know. And the more I go, the more I realize how stupid I really am. It just amazes me. But I still keep going. I'm starting another class in January. I just love to learn. Romans 8. That's not Romans. It's got to be. Hey, maybe it is. Neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the what of God? The love of God, who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He who knows you best loves you most. Would you just one last time turn to somebody and say, He who knows me best loves me most. Now let's try that again and let's get 50% participation. who knows me best loves me most, or whatever way. It's hello. See, God knows when my time's up when I'm preaching. He knows. Hey, your time's up, buddy. You got more thing. One more final closing. Third, fourth. Come on up, Pastor Doug. Last closing. The biblical perspective produces godly peace. That's our last point. Biblical perspective produces God's peace. If God be for us, who can stand against us? Faint not, for in due season you shall reap. And in closing, this too shall pass. Put those three principles, or any one of those three principles, to work in your life. They're God's principles. They're not my principles. It's God's word, not my word. We prayed earlier when I started that God would stir your hearts, open our ears to his word, not my word. Do you mind if I pray?